Mark chapter 3. We are continuing in our study of the life of our Savior. We left off over the summer months, but we want to resume this again. And I would ask for your prayers as we go through this study, that in my preparation I will know the leading of the Lord. It is difficult to cover every detail of his life, and it would take a study of many, many years. And so we're looking to highlight the important parts that will be most helpful for us in our own Christian growth. And so please pray for me in those, in the preparation of that, and then always in the delivery of his word, that God's Spirit will come and help us. We're reading from verse 20 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much, the disciples, as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, Jesus, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. There came then his brethren and his mother, standing without, sent unto him, calling him. The multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we ask humbly and simply yet directly in the name of our Lord Jesus that we would hear the word of God in our hearts. I pray that this truth would be written on our minds. I'm asking, Lord, for the help of the Spirit of God to deliver this word today. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Dear God, I pray that it might please thee to work in every believer's heart, and also, Lord, any who may be here that are not saved, that they would come under conviction of sin and call out to Jesus for salvation. Lord, hear our prayer now today. Bless us We ask all this in our Lord's name. Amen. The final verse of chapter 3 is what I want you to think about this morning with me. Verse 35. It says this, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same, my brother, my sister, my mother. I want us to think this morning on the subject of being related to Christ. What does that mean? What are the evidences of that? Being related to the Lord Jesus Christ. The last time that we were looking at the life of our Lord, it was in John chapter 5. And there was a clear gospel invitation in verse 24 of that chapter where Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." And at that time we were thinking and presenting and praying over the great invitation that there is for every man to lay hold upon Christ by faith and believe that he has been sent of the Father. But we know that John did not include many events in the Lord's life. And between chapter 5 of John and chapter 6, there are included in Matthew, Mark, and Luke many details, many events. And as we look at them and select some of them to highlight, well, they help us to see the day-to-day events in the life of our Master. One of these events we're looking at this morning in Mark chapter 3. It culminates with Jesus saying these words in verse 35 about what it really means to be related to Him and how that doing the will of God is the key example and evidence that you are related to Him. Now, you've read this verse perhaps many times before and yet wondered about its strange significance. It is speaking about what it is to have a connection to the Lord, a relationship with Him, so that if any man has this relationship, he can know Him as Savior. But what was behind this statement that Jesus made? What led the Lord to make such a word? The Savior had grown now into what we would say was amazing popularity, so that the crowds, they pressed upon Him, and if they could even touch Him or touch His clothing, they would receive healing. And the result of His teaching and healing, well, we could say it had now come to a fever pitch. He had concentrated His activity around Galilee, in the region of Galilee, and He frequently went into Capernaum and then went outside to the desert place where people went. When He was in Capernaum, in those regions around in the synagogues, He would go in on the Sabbath days and He would teach. But also, not only would He teach, but He would at times heal people. And this infuriated the Jews who were there. And the Lord Jesus, because of that, was Himself extremely grieved in His heart. If you look at Mark 3 and verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, He saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." So this act of kindness, this act of healing this crippled man on the Sabbath day was anathema to those who were around. And they now began to hunt Christ. They wanted to see Him destroyed. But you know, no matter what happened, the Savior was not going to be taken away from His determination. He was headed toward Calvary. That was His purpose. And he was not going to be deterred from that. Look at verse 10 of chapter 3. It says, "For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straitly charged them, they should not make him known." In the midst of this popularity and of doing much good for the people came a very strong satanic attack. Yes, from the outside, the Jewish leaders, they wanted him dead. But from those who knew him, his relatives and his friends, came the more bitter attack. And I want us today to consider what it means, and yes, perhaps some of the cost connected to what it means to be related to the Lord Jesus, and what you can expect in this life. And if you know him, I pray that you will rejoice and not become discouraged. And my dear friend, if you do not know him here today, that you would repent of your sin and call upon him and be welcomed into the Lord's family. Please notice with me in the first place, those related to Christ by faith can prepare to be tragically misunderstood as Jesus was. We could say that it was a growing phenomenon, what was happening as people followed the Lord. The whole situation seemed electric. It was on fire. He was attracting people from every region around him. And the very hectic program that was taking place meant that his disciples did not even have time to take bread. Sometimes you may feel your life is hectic, and maybe even in a situation like that, that you're so busy in serving the Lord that you don't have time for the other necessities of life. But then it was dropped upon the Savior. One of the most demeaning slurs on his holy character. And I'm referring to verse 21 of Mark 3. Listen to these words. "And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself." The word in our text for friends, it is in the original, "they who were of him." They who were of him. So there was some connection that these people had with the Lord when they came to lay hold on him. And it's believed by commentators that these were people who were his relatives or close friends that knew him and that perhaps lived in Nazareth. And when they had heard of all that was happening and all the uproar, they came down now to see the Lord. But more than that, they came down to put their hands upon him. These friends, I say to you, maybe they had some distant relation to Job's friends because of the way they conducted themselves. They were going to do more harm, much more harm than any good that they thought. Do you know that they considered that Jesus was a crazy man? They considered that he had lost his mind. And so he was on the verge of total collapse or insanity. He was so drinking in of all the popularity, and the movement that he had now begun was out of control, and it was madness and chaos going on all around. And what were they going to do? They're going to come and rescue the Lord. They're going to rescue their country. They're going to rescue maybe their own reputation and that of his mother and his family. So they set out to take him by force. That's the import of the words, lay hold on Jesus. They were going to go right into the crowd. They were going to take him by their hands, and they were going to escort him out of the fury of all that was going on, furor, and save themselves. Of course, on the heels of what they were intent on doing, these scribes had come down from Jerusalem, and they came down to inspect what was going on. And they concluded this, this man Jesus, he hath Beelzebub. And what he is doing in casting out devils, he is doing it by the prince of the power of the devils. He's doing it by satanic power. In other words, they were saying, he is possessed of the devil. And that's why he is operating in this way. Ah, but then, we don't have time in this particular message to go into the very detailed explanation that Jesus brought about that charge and how he said that it is an unpardonable sin for you to make such an accusation against the holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God. When you sin against the Holy Spirit, there is no forgiveness. My friends, something, it seems, almost even worse happened now. And it's found in verse number 31. It said, there came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. There came, did you notice that little word? Then. The Lord doesn't waste any words. And when we think about the inspiration of God's truth, that little word then is very important because it's a time-related word. And it gives to us a very important connection. It was after those people had come who were called his friends, those who were connected to him in some way, and they said, he's beside himself. Then the Pharisees, the scribes, they come and say, this man's got a devil in him, and that's why he's doing what he's doing. Then, along comes his mother and his brethren, those of his own family. And what do they say? They came and they called him out. They were doing exactly the same thing as the other people were doing. They were coming to lay hold upon the Lord and deliver him from this madness. They wanted to stop the Lord from this uproar. They were going to deliver him from causing the whole land to be turned upside down and bringing dishonor upon God. Sometimes people have what they think is a good motive. Sometimes people have what they think is the right step forward. But when it's reviewed in the sight of the Word of God, when it's reviewed and made, brought into the light of Holy Scripture, then you find out it is so far opposite from the mind and the will of God. Friends, we need to be very careful of the advice that we give, of the words that we speak, of the direction that we go. Because there are times when we might think we're doing the will of God, we're going in the direction that is true and right, and all along it is absolutely the opposite of what the will of God is. Is it not true that some of the best intentions and advice that comes from family and or friends is exactly the opposite of God's will? Maybe we have been the ones giving that advice, Maybe we have been the ones directing in that way. May the Lord forgive us and help us and teach us. We read a very sad thing in John's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 5, where it says this, "Neither did his brethren believe in him." Neither did his brethren believe in him. There was a time that the Lord was in his ministry and he was serving just exactly in this situation here, and they did not believe on him. But later in life, we find by the inclusion of his brethren with him and his family, that they had turned and they had come to believe. How completely misunderstood the Lord was here in this. They did not have the mind of Christ, and they knew not the purpose of God. But that is exactly the thinking of the world today too, and too often it can be with those who profess faith in Christ. The path of the Lord Jesus, my dear friends, is a lonely one. He is called and said to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And certainly part of the sorrows that Christ bore was that he came unto his own and his own received him not. It wasn't just the Jewish people that had rejected him, but here is an instance where his very family had rejected him and turned away. And they didn't understand. Misunderstanding is something that we have all perhaps been on the receiving end of, and we've been on the giving end of it too, where we have not understood what someone else. You know, if you go about your Christian life to follow even the basic tenets of the Word of God, and you have been saved by the Lord's grace, and you say, "Lord, I want to serve you. I want to walk in your ways." If you say that as a believer, you say, I want to be involved in God's work. I want to attend the house of God. I want to be here twice on the Lord's day. I want to come to the prayer meeting. I want to be involved in outreach if it's going on. I want to serve in any way I can. And if you have even that basic approach to the things of God, you know what the world's going to call you? Some kind of zealot. Who's this fanatic? They're in church all the time. Do they not have a life to live outside? And so it will be looked upon as being a very strong criticism. If you are zealous for God's things, if you're earnest about the Lord in your life, then you can be prepared not to be understood by those in the world. Albert Barnes wrote this. He said, "Let a man be made deeply sensible of his sins and spend much of his time in prayer and have no relish for the ordinary amusements or business of life, or let a Christian be much impressed with his obligation to devote himself to God and act as if he believed there was an eternity and warn his neighbors of their danger, and the world is not slow to call it derangement, insanity. This guy's crazy." But friends, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, the devil, how much more shall they call them of his household? So we can be prepared in our life to be misunderstood if we are related to the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, sometimes that misunderstanding does not just come from outside in the world, but it comes from inside. May God deliver us and give us much grace and help as we think through that. But I want you to notice in the second place, please, the mark of being related to Christ by faith. What is it? It is doing the will of God. The mark of being related to Christ is doing the will of God. On the surface, it would seem that the answer Jesus gave to his mother and his brethren was an unfeeling one. They wanted to see him. Ah, but it was much more than that. But we know this, that Jesus loved his mother. We know this, that he loved his brethren. No one, how could anyone question such a thing? He followed the commandments. There was no sin in him. When the Lord said, honor thy father and thy mother, Christ honored Mary with his life and what he did. We must look deeper then for the answer to this question. And it's found in the purpose of God and the will and the mind of Christ. And the purpose of the cross that was the fulfilling of the will of God in every detail. And my dear friend, that was of greater importance than the feelings of family. That was of greater importance than just going through the idea of smoothing someone down and not wanting to hurt their feelings. Many have had to set family ties and affections aside to follow God. This is not the first time this will have happened. But to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is the order of doing the will of God first. But as the hymn writer said, it's not an easy road. We are traveling to heaven, for many are the thorns on the way. Discouragements, yes. Hurts, yes. Offenses, yes. But my dear friend, the evidence that you are related to Christ is that you will do the will of God from the heart, as much as you have revealed to you in the Scripture. See, doing the will of God means putting family behind you. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus shows us here, that God's will is first, and the Lord must be first. You know, this is not easily accepted. And in fact, many say that it's wrong to do this. It's wrong to put God before the family. And we all realize that the Lord has placed responsibilities upon us in life, and there is the important balance of serving God and taking care of our loved ones and family. But my dear friend, the Lord must be first in our lives. There is no truth and reality of Matthew 6:33 if we don't take that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Set the Lord in the priority. Jesus said, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. And so, what is it we ask? What is it to do the will of God in a Christian's life? Dr. Ole Willis, faithful servant of God who was with us for many years, now in glory, he used to speak in our school assemblies, and he would ask the children in the primary department, he would say, what do fish do? And everybody would put up their hand, fish swim. What do birds do? Birds fly. What do Christians do? And then there would be a silence, and he would answer, Christians do the will of God. And that's a mark, an evidence that we truly know the Lord, that we are submissive to His will, that we are in submissive agreement with His will, and that we are in active obedience to His purpose, which is ultimately to bring glory to His name. You know, it is following His revealed will through the Word, that is the Scripture. And we must have high views, my dear friends, of the Word of God, and realize that it's not an option for our lives, but it's absolutely essential. Isn't part of the problem that we get ourselves into in our wandering away from the Lord, the times when we get cold in heart, where do we begin to backslide as Christians? We begin to go away from God in the place of the neglect of our attention to His Word and of prayer. And you will trace it in your own life. It always comes back to that. That's where it starts. We begin to ignore the Lord's word. You see, if we ignore the Lord's word, then we are not submitting to His will in our life. Because the will of God is that we come to know Him more and more. The will of God is that we know His mind. The will of God is that the thinking of the Lord and His thoughts are in our mind, in our lives. And so the absolute essential nature and purpose of God's word has to be seen in us. To know the will of God is to know His holy, inspired, and infallible word. And not just to say that we know it, but to believe it and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There are two forces in the world today, good and evil. Some people would not like to have it such an absolute definition, but in reality, that's exactly what it is. There are only two forces in this world and universe today, the force of good and the force of evil. And we could take it a step further and say, therefore, there are only two wills in this world. There is the will of God for good and righteousness and holiness and His eternal purpose, and there is the will of Satan to undermine the will of God. So when we are not following the Lord with all our heart, or if you don't know Him and you're living your own life, you might say, well, I'm not in the good side necessarily, I'm not in the bad side, I'm just neutral, I'm in the middle. I don't really have too much bias one way or another. Oh, my friend, you can't be that way. You are not that way. Because there is no neutrality. It is either good or it's evil. And therefore, for someone to say, I'm just going to go down the center, you are on the side of satanic will. But being conformed to Christ, being conformed to His beauty and His image, His holiness, Jesus did always those things that please the Lord. And He said, everything that God the Father has revealed and shown to me, that is what I will do. And so if we are going to be conformed to the image of Jesus, it is a good place to start there and say, Lord, take Your word and so mold my life through its truth so that I will take on more of the image of my Savior. So when Jesus said that whosoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother, He was stressing the importance, the vital need of a spiritual relationship that we have to have with Him. Oh, my dear friends, this is of eternal importance, because we're not just dealing with the flippant things of time and life. We're dealing with the eternal realities. There is a God. There is a day of judgment coming. There is an eternity to prepare for. And if we are walking in Christ, if we are in relationship with Him, then, my dear friend, we will have that in the forefront of our mind. It's salvation by faith means that we are in union with our Lord Jesus. It means that we are part of His body. It means that we are part of His family. It means we've been adopted into His home. And the evidence of all this, what is it? Well, the evidence is that our life will be a life of service in doing His will with our heart, our mind, our soul, every part of our being. So I ask you today, friend, are you related to Christ? Because if you are, the evidence is you will do the will of God from your heart. And if you're not related to Him today, then the gospel invitation is open to you. And now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And when you come to Him, you will find that He satisfies your heart and life completely. because in him he has given us all things richly to enjoy. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our loving Father, we pray today, as the Savior himself had to endure such contradiction of sinners against him. And Lord, we know that Mary and his brethren, they were sadly mistaken. They were sidetracked. And that can so easily happen to us as well. And so we're not critical of them. We're thankful, Lord, that there was a time for their restoration, a time for their understanding to be cleared. And Lord, give us patience in our own lives when we are misunderstood, or give us grace and help not to misunderstand others. Help us to rejoice each day that we are in the Lord, and that we are saved from all our sin. We have a home in heaven. We're going home to glory soon to see the city bright. And I pray that we will be found faithful until that day comes. So Lord, part us now in thy fear with thy rich blessing. Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.